Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Well, hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. I am on the road, recording from my mobile studio in Mississippi, where I've been spending a few weeks with my parents. Actually, by the time you hear this, I will have been here for about a month and a half. So if things sound slightly askew, it's because they are. And I'm so, so grateful to all of you who've been sending your well wishes and prayers for my mom, for my dad. This has been a challenging time in our family's life, but honestly, also a time filled with grace. And I'm really learning quite a lot about leaning in to God's good grace, living in the moment, trusting God's providence, trusting his plans, and most of all, you know, spotting those little blessings that come along every day, even when the days are really very hard. There are inevitably just small glimmers of hope that shine through. And so I know that this particular period has been a challenge for our family, not something I'd wish on anybody, but also a time of great grace. And I just feel so grateful for your support and your prayers. And so I'm really excited to share this week's show. This guest that we're featuring this week, Chris Dowling, he is a writer and producer who's well known for his work on all kinds of films, such as Where Hope Grows and Prices. But we're getting ready to meet with him today to talk about a new film, actually a film that was out in theaters last year, that has the name Tim Tebow attached to it. That might be a name that's familiar to you. The film is called Run the Race, and it's a film where two desperate brothers sacrifice today for a better tomorrow. Reeling from his mother's death and his father's abandonment, Zach, an all-star athlete, finds glory on the football field, working to earn a college scholarship and the brothers' ticket out of town. When a devastating injury puts Zach and his dreams on the sideline, brother David laces up his track cleats to salvage their future and point Zach toward hope. This film, Run the Race, will be available on DVD and digital May 21st. So as you're listening to this, available exclusively on Blu-ray and DVD at Walmart and digital on demand on all platforms. And then nationwide on Blu-ray and DVD at all retailers on June 8th. Let's take a listen now to the trailer for Run the Race.
This is it.
We got the beat. Yeah. It's in our feet. Yeah. It's in our head. Yeah. It's everywhere. Yeah. I must confess. Yeah. Yeah, we're the best. Yeah. The mighty rebel. Yeah. The mighty rebel. Yeah. The mighty rebel.
Yeah. I've seen enough football to last me a lifetime. After watching you take that hit last year, your body all locked up the way it was, no thank you, no sir.
I've coached hundreds of kids, man. I've never met kids like these boys. And they've been dealt a tough hand, and they've been through a lot, but somehow managed every single day to make it.
We're family.
No, we are family.
You're some guy that walked out on us when mom died.
He's our dad!
No, he is not our dad. He's a drunk and a coward, and he is not my father.
This came for you in the mail today. Congrats, you're on somebody's radar, son.
It's happening.
Yeah, you're right, it's a big deal, dude.
It's the Florida Gators.
I'm gonna get that scholarship. I'm gonna get us out of here.
She's got that soft jaw.
Runs in the family, right?
Understand about football season? Chance of scholarship for this boy.
Look, coach, with all due respect, this isn't about football anymore.
It's about a ticket out of here, and that ticket's gone now.
They give scholarships for track.
We're all works in progress, and Zach's a work in progress.
I run with you step for step, and I'm gonna need a training partner.
Are you my nurse intern?
I am your nurse intern. I'm sorry to hear about your knee. I remember you telling me how good you are.
Your boys don't need a coach. They need a dad.
I'm gonna go to state and I'm gonna win. Who's not gonna give a scholarship to the state champ? And then we're gonna take that money and wherever I end up, you're gonna walk onto the football team. We're gonna get out of here. And that's the plan.
Goose call on three! One, two, three!
Run the Race is very much a football film, but it's also a film about finding love, finding reconciliation, finding grace, and finding faith. Let's turn now to our conversation with director Chris Dowling. Well, next up on the podcast, I'm really excited to welcome Chris Dowling, who is a writer, producer, and director, and we're here to have him today to discuss this amazing new movie, Run the Race. Recently screened this and so excited about seeing it launch on on-demand platforms and DVD and Blu-ray. Ray. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Lisa. Appreciate it.
Well, it's a great honor. Our listeners have already heard the trailer, so given a little bit of summary and synopsis about what a great film this is. But I'm curious about asking what attracted you to Run the Race and how you got involved with the project.
I mean, the quickest Cliff Notes version is I had a producer call me and say, hey, do you want to be in the Tim Tebow business? And I said, yes, I do. that's really how it happened. I mean, I've gotten a lot of projects that come my way. And when you hear the Tim Tebow brand and just who he is and his persona, which, by the way, happens to be the same guy he is in public and private, which is, you know, very rare out here. It's pretty much like the perfect man. But it was something I wanted to be a part of. And so, they sent me the script. And at first, actually, they just hired me to rewrite the script. And so I was able to work through it and kind of do what I wanted to do with it. And then it was kind of a natural progression when they started looking for directors. They interviewed, you know, a handful of guys and came back and said, hey, man, we want to just stay on and direct this thing, which obviously I was very excited and honored. So,
yeah, that's great as a storyteller to see the full spectrum of the story. I'm curious that the film almost plays like one of these faith-based films that we see that's, you know, based in reality. You have a Texas background, and I don't know what your football background is, but this is in essence a made-up story. But what was your motivation and your writing of it, your involvement with your part of the writing to kind of bring the vision of the project?
I mean, you know, a big part of it for me was I love movies that are kind of coming of age movies. Stand By Me is probably my favorite movie of all time. But like, I just, even now, you know, I'm just really have this great affinity for anything that's coming of age. And so the idea of it was this coming of age movie where you're kind of questioning so much in life, you know, especially with our characters who've just been dealt this really, really bad card. It was exciting to start with that. And then there's not a lot of films out there, especially dramas, where it's about the relationship between brothers. And I don't know why that is, but I feel like we explore all these other relationships, but the brother relationship doesn't really get explored that much in a kind of real way. And growing up, my brother's my best friend. Robbie and Tim are super tight. Jake, who's one of the other writers and producers, like, he has brothers. So it just made sense to really kind of dive in and say, hey, what can we do that makes us feel a little different and gives us a look at brothers?
Well, it really comes across, and the portrayals by your two young actors, Tanner Stein and Evan Hoffer, those are, I kept having to kind of ask myself, are they actually twins in real life? They have a real, they're not related, right?
No, actually, and they didn't really even know each other before we started shooting.
Wow, so. The chemistry is amazing. Say a few words about working with those two talented young actors.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, in fact, I asked them if when they got out to Birmingham where we shot, if they minded just kind of living together, you know, in one apartment, because they had, you know, both apartments. And they did it. So they jumped right in. And, you know, we just started hanging out with those guys. And they're both very talented. And especially Tanner has this real knack for when we go off book or kind of move away off the script sometimes, like just really kind of just bring some really fun and funny stuff. I mean, I think his charisma really comes through in the role of Zach. And so these guys are just great, and they were up for anything. And and on the set, like as long as your director and like your actors trust you, and then vice versa, you trust your actors, I think it just kind of really lets everyone relax and just kind of be in the moment. And so I think we got a lot of that from them. So it really does feel like a very real, lived-in, you know, a movie, to be honest with you.
Yeah, my hat is totally tipped to Tanner, who just gives this really broad range of, you know, emotion. I have two sons, so I was kind of watching this from a mom point of view, and I just saw so much that rang true with his portrayal. So really great. I also wanted to ask you about working with Frances Fisher and with Mario Van Peebles, kind of names that we know, and seeing them in these roles, especially Frances, I felt was really a key to the heart of the film.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Frances was, I think, the first person to sign on. And, I mean, she just, I mean, embodies this character of, you know, which is essentially, they call her Nanny. But, and she's great. I mean, it was really cool to have, you know, this the whole gamut where it's like Frances has probably done 100 projects. And then you've got the young guys who have done, you know, a handful. And and how, you know, watching her do her thing, and then these young guys are doing their thing, and they learn from each other. It's pretty funny. But everyone got so tight on set, and that's what was so cool too. Everybody afterwards, we, you know, could go out and eat dinner, hang out, or do whatever, you know, and so it was a big family. And you know, sometimes that's pretty rare on a set, but it was really cool. And Mario came in, he was just there for a few days, but you know, he jumped right in. And actually Mario was super cool, because in one of the scenes, I had written that there's the pastor's basically giving a sermon in the background, and I didn't write the sermon at all. And we were going to focus on, the brothers and their dad coming to church. And then, Mario came, he's like, "Oh, hey, by the way, I wrote a sermon. Is that cool?" And I was like, yeah. And so he had a written sermon, and it was his sermon that he preached, in one of the scenes. So it was like, it was super cool. I mean, as a director, doesn't get much better than that when you're, you know, actors excited enough to write his own sermon.
That's amazing. And that's a great scene in the film. And you mentioned a family feeling, and family is really one of the things that's at the heart of this film. You have this very broken relationship between the sons and their father. And, you know, we kind of learn as the story plays out what, you know, what's caused that fracture. But it almost hurts your heart to watch, you know, how broken their father is. And how, you know, one of the sons chooses to offer kind of a piece, and you see him almost keep getting kicked like a dog. And then the other is just totally closed to relationship. How was it to draw those portrayals out, and how hard was it to deal with those hard family scenes?
I mean, that's the fun of writing. I mean, I don't come from a broken family, or, you know, my father was, you know, one of the, you know, the biggest influence in my life. And so like, I didn't necessarily have that, but you get to get in there and create and do stuff. And I mean, and Chris Palaha is a great friend of mine who played the father. And I just knew he would bring this dynamic, sense to the character, where I didn't want it to be some flat stereotypical character where he's just like abusive and he's just drunk and he's just angry. It's like, I want you to experience him the first time and you go, okay, this is what we're going to get. But then kind of what you're saying is like, you realize this dude is really broken, and for a good reason. He just doesn't know how to get himself right. And I think that's what happens a lot. And a lot of it obviously is pride, or, I mean, just in life, not even with our character, but just, and we have a tough time really kind of getting to the part where we deal with what we need to deal with. And I think that's what, you know, he's working with Michael, the father is working with. And as you said, like, you got the two boys, and one of them is, I mean, it's just the way it happens, right? It's real life. Like, one of them wants their dad so bad in his life, and he's eager to forgive. Even when he gets kicked down each time, he's still, it's that desire that's in there. And the other one is the standoffish. And he's just like, you know what? You left us, and so you're out. And so there is this very, very broken dynamic between the three, and even the stress it puts on the two brothers at times when they're dealing with their dad. But again, if it feels like real life, and there's people in the audience that can, you know, attach to any one of those three characters and say, hey, I've been there, I've done that. This is me.
Yeah, it's very much a prodigal son type of a story in a sense. And the dad is the prodigal too here. I'm curious, I have to ask about the football portions of this. And certainly any project that involves Tim Tebow is, you know, we know we're going to see some football. But how was it to film those scenes and kind of what are, do the actors actually play the football scenes? And did you bring in local talent for the rest of the players, or how did that work out?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, it's super remarkable. And I would never recommend doing this in a shooting, but our first day of shooting just so happened to coincide with the championship game of the high school that we were using for our location for the character's high school. And so we talked to the coach and I said, hey, could we shoot the game? And do you mind if I put my actors on the sideline with your players in uniform? Oh yeah, and by the way, can I put my Michael T. Williamson, who's playing our head coach, can I put him in the coaching uniform and be yelling at the players during the game with you? And also, do you mind if my players run on the field sometimes and get in huddles and run out? And long story short, it was the craziest thing. It worked out where, I mean, we had four camera crews shooting this game, and I had my players on the sidelines. I was shooting narrative scenes on the sidelines while they were playing a real championship game. I had actors in the crowd I was shooting doing things. And to the point of, their stud quarterback who was going to Mississippi State looks like Tanner Stein. And I was like, coach, you know, our player, our guy, Tanner, he wears number 2 in the movie, but your guy wears 7. And he's like, all right, Chris, I'll make him change. So he literally made his stud guy in the championship game change to jersey too. And we use so much of that footage. It's intercut. It's actually, Chris Kimlin did an amazing job, and Brandon Porter and the guys and Robbie Tebow, all the people helping with the football, because there's a lot of that. Almost probably 70% of it is real game stuff. But then we went back and shot 2 overnights where we set up stuff and we intercut it all, and it's pretty seamless. I haven't had anyone be able to tell for the most part what was actual game footage and what was the footage we shot and set up ourselves.
Are you allowed to say the name of the school?
I think so. Well, the funny thing is it's actually, it's the school that we use. Like we actually use the name of the school.
Oh, you're kidding.
Bessemer Academy. We just changed to Bessemer High School. So, but yeah, they were awesome. Couldn't have been better. But again, it is the most chaotic way to ever start. It was the first day of shooting for us. So we were all over the place, but you know what? We made it work. And that just is a testament to what a great team we had. But it was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, and it was, you know, you don't get that experience in L.A. Nobody's letting you shoot. I'd be curious to see how many football movies have ever had that experience where they were able to suit up their actors and have them running on the field in a championship high school game. We're filming it all.
Could possibly be attributed to the Tim Tebow factor as well, opening a few doors there. That's amazing. But what a great thing for those kids, too, to be involved in something like this and, you know, to be able to see their part in a film that really is kind of, in a sense, really the mission of what you're talking about really goes to what you'd hope that young men like that would discover through watching the film.
Yeah, absolutely. And those players also had the time of their lives out there. I mean, what an experience to... you know, out of nowhere where it's like, hey, you know, a Hollywood crew's coming in and they're going to shoot a Tim Tebow football movie. And oh yeah, by the way, you guys are all going to be like essentially stars in it, you know, to some degree. Like, so it was awesome. And yeah, and just being on set and just the way, you know, you treat people and the way our set was working, like it was just a cool experience for everybody to get a good taste of how movie making can be done and where it's not like all the snobbish, stuff you hear about so many times.
Yeah, that sounds so authentic. And I've been on set for another film in Birmingham, and I know it's a great community to film in too. So just want to ask you, now that the film is being distributed, you know, more in the home market on streaming and Blu-ray and DVD, you know, what's your hope for the fact that families and churches and groups will be able to bring this into their communities and really dig into the meat of the film?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's always cool when it's in the theaters because you're like, oh yeah, what's our box office? But really, at the end of the day, you know, it's just as exciting, if not more exciting, with the home video stuff, because you know more eyeballs are going to see it. And then, you know, hopefully more people are going to be connected to it or changed by it, or go, hey, I know a friend who's dealing with this and needs to see this. And we've already had some stories that are pretty awesome with people, you know, writing us and just telling us how, you know, it affected them, or how they, you know, they were wondering why, you know, they're going through so much hard stuff right now, but then, you know, watching the film made them realize that, you know, God's got their back, or there's this plan, or, you know, they can kind of, you know, run forward with pride instead of like just hiding through like shame or whatever's bogging them down. So, you know, the idea that more people get to experience that, I mean, that kind of beats all. So that's cool. And you know, it's May 21st. It's coming out. And then, and the DVD is just going to be in Walmart for the first 30 days, but it's on all the home video platforms. And then on June 18th, it actually, the DVD Blu-ray goes, you know, nationwide.
Yeah, and folks will definitely want to go over to the movie website at runtheracemovie.com. We'll have links in the show notes for that, because not only can you find out kind of some of the behind the scenes stuff, see some great videos and stuff, but there's also resources over there, partners that you're partnering with for the project, and also a Bible study, a six lesson Bible study that people can use with this. And what a great thing to do with a youth group or young adults out there. So definitely check out runtheracemovie.com. Chris, any final thoughts before we let you get on along to your next project?
I really appreciate you having me on, and we're just excited to get Run the Race out there and have it touch more people's lives. And that's really it. I mean, that's all you can ask for as a writer and director, is that your film makes a difference to some people.
Well, Chris Dowling, thank you so much for all the great work that you did on this project, Run the Race. Friends, check it out. And Chris, thanks so much, and good luck with whatever comes next.
Thanks, Liz. Appreciate it.
Really want to encourage you to check out this great film, Run the Race. Big thanks to Chris Dowling and all the team behind this film. It's yet another great example of wonderful storytelling that shares a message of hope and encouragement and reconciliation and family and above all faith, but does it in a way that's fun and entertaining. And I know families are going to love this, especially if you've got anybody who loves football. You want to check out Run the Race. We'll have links in our show notes over at lisahendy.com for you to check out the film and to learn about how you can bring it into your home or your church, including that Bible study that I mentioned during the podcast. So big thanks to Chris Dowling and the whole team behind Run the Race. Maybe next time I'll get to interview Tim Tebow. I'm not going to cross it off my list. Well, that's about it for this week's show. I want to thank you again for listening, for sharing the podcast. Big way that you can help me is to go over to iTunes or wherever you listen to the show and leave a review or a star rating. It means a lot, and it's really helpful in helping to spread the word. I want to thank my family over at Breadbox Media for letting my podcast be a part of what the great work that they're doing over there. So definitely check out Breadbox Media. And that's about it for this week. I do want to say again a big thank you to everybody who's been praying for our family. Please, if you would, continue with those prayers. They're greatly needed. And just know that you are in my prayers as well. Hope you have an awesome week, friends, and I'll see you next time. God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.